Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon this morning from the screen, The Study, How God Reveals His Will. Our text, Matthew 6, verse 10, Thy will be done. We continue our sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, seeing each part of this Lord's Prayer as a room in the great house of God. And I invite you this morning especially to follow your sermon outline provided for you in your handout. Today, we're going to enter into the room of the great house of God called the study. Now, perhaps the name of this room and even the room itself has disappeared in our modern age. The study, historically, is that large room in a big house that contains books, a desk, padded chairs, a quiet place for reading and discussion and reflection. Now, maybe you've seen in movies a scene in which people are welcomed into the study by the master of the house. It's in this place in the house where the master of the house shares what's on his mind, where he reveals his will and his desires. It's in God's study that God reveals his will for us. And this place is not just a room in a house, but it's wherever God meets with his people. One day, two unnamed disciples of Jesus were welcomed into God's study, so to speak. They were walking home to their hometown of Emmaus. They were sad. They were desperate. They were confused. They had just left Jerusalem where they saw Jesus crucified. And we read about them in Luke 24. Verse 21 of the gospel says this. As they were talking to each other, they said, "And we were hoping that Jesus would free Israel." As if he hadn't. How could they have been so close to Jesus and yet miss the point? Jesus' death and resurrection redeemed the world, and they're complaining about Rome? Jesus came to deal with sin and death, and they wanting to deal with Caesar and his soldiers? Jesus came to set us free from hell, and they wanted to be set free from Roman taxes. They wanted a Messiah who would lead a revolt against the Romans. But they missed the real revolution. Now I'm going to tell you a story about myself, and I hope some of you computer geeks out there can laugh along with me. I particularly have in mind, I won't mention any names, but their initials are Stephen Gettle and Ian Adams, who know so much about computers. Well, the disciples missed the revolution. I came close some years ago of missing a revolution too. It's called the computer revolution. I was teaching at Concordia Lutheran Seminary in Edmonton, and all the professors and the staff had just been given brand new computers. My first ever computer. The staff were especially excited. They were saying things like this. "Just think," they said. "Move the cursor, click the mouse, check the monitor, and presto, the email is sent." Easy for them to say because they spoke computerese, not me. I thought a cursor was a guy who used bad language. A mouse was a pest you caught in a trap. And a monitor was that big guy in the high school hallway that asked you, "What are you doing roaming the halls when you should be in your classroom?" I had gone to sleep one night in a world of sticky notes and handwritten letters, and had awoken into a world of paperless emails and websites. I must confess, I still some days miss the old days. I miss the days of pen touching paper and sticky notes on my door. But change is inevitable, and finally I gave in. And now I use my computer every day for many reasons, not just for work, but to keep in touch with my loved ones and even to check on how my baseball team is doing. And by the way, we're done for the season now. As much as I don't want to, I have to admit, it is good, and here's the point, it is good to get quick and accurate and clear information. This is similar to how those disciples on the road to Emmaus must have felt. They too had missed some very important information. They had missed out on far more than just a memo about a meeting. They'd missed out on the meaning of Jesus' death at the cross and his resurrection. What should have been a day of Easter joy for them was a day of despair. Why? They didn't get God's message. They didn't check their email. They didn't know how to understand God's will at Jesus' cross. And they're not alone. More than one of us here today have spent hours staring at the monitor of life, wondering, God, what is your message and your will for me? The Bible is so very clear about God's will for us. And please listen carefully to this most precious passage of Holy Scripture. It means so much to each one of us. Here is God's email. Here's his message. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Good plans for you. Not plans to hurt you, but plans to give you a future and a hope." Now, how do we access this will of God? A great way to answer the question is to study the account of these two Emmaus disciples. It's time, along with these two disciples, to enter into the study of God and to pray, "Thy will be done." As you know, we're examining the various parts of the Lord's Prayer as rooms in the great house of God in which he wants us to dwell with him. Now, envision a study. Envision a study with bookshelves lining the walls, a fire in the fireplace, and two nice chairs, one for you and one for your Heavenly Father. And he motions for you. Yes, George, for you. Ben, he motions to you to come and sit with him. He has made time for you, Jan. Come and seek the will and the heart of God. To pray, "Thy will be done," is to seek God's will, to seek what he desires for us. He wants us to see his will and to know his ways. And here's the good news of the sermon, and it's on your outline, by the way. God will do whatever it takes to help us know his will of "Thy will be done." That's what Jesus was doing that day on the road to Emmaus. Now, just imagine this. Of all the places Jesus could have been on that day of his glorious resurrection, of all the things he could have done, this victorious celebration, instead on that day, our Lord Jesus, because he loves people like you and so me so much, that day he chose to go on a walk with two sad and confused disciples on a dusty road to a little village called Emmaus. He meets them there and he walks with them to love them and to guide them. How does he do this? How does he guide us today? The same way. you may be surprised at the simplicity of how God reveals his will, of thy will be done. Notice your sermon outline. God reveals his will through the people of God. The first mistake of these two Emmaus disciples was they cut themselves off from the people of God. They had left the other disciples behind in Jerusalem. They decided to go it alone. And they ended up sad and confused on a dusty road to Emmaus. God had revealed his will and had delivered his message to the women who came to the tomb. Women, you should be real proud today. It was the men who were gathered in fear in the upper room. Two women went to the tomb and discovered he is risen. They came back as the first preachers to tell the men, he's not dead, he has risen indeed. Luke 24 is a report from some other disciples, not the two guys on the road. Listen to what the other disciples said. Luke 24, 22 to 23. Today some women among us amazed us. Early this morning, they went to the tomb, but Jesus' body was not there. Then they told us they had seen a vision of angels, and they knew Jesus was alive. My friends, God's plan hasn't changed. God still speaks to believers through other believers. St. Paul said the same thing in Ephesians 4:15. Comparing the church to a human body, listen to what Paul says. The whole body depends on Christ, and all the parts of the body are joined and held together. Each part does its own work to make the whole body grow and be strong with faith and love. God wants us to gather together. He speaks to one member through another member. It happens in a Bible class, in worship, at a board meeting, at communion, even during dessert time. That, by the way, and I hope you're listening carefully now, that, by the way, is why the devil does not want you in church. I'm sure that you've noticed when you or someone else you know are in a spiritual slump, a spiritual struggle, you head out by yourself on the dusty road to Emmaus. You don't want to be with other believers, so you sneak in and out of church as quickly as you can with the excuse of, oh, I have so many things to do. The truth is, the devil does not want you hearing God's will or having your faith strengthened with the help of other believers. Nor does he want you reading or studying your Bible. And this brings us to the second way that God reveals his will. He especially reveals his will through the Bible, through the very Word of God. These disciples on the road to Emmaus had disregarded the word of God. This was their second mistake after cutting themselves off from the fellowship of the believers. Rather than listening to the scripture, they were only listening to the fears of their own hearts. But in his wonderful love for these two men, Jesus puts on hold his well-deserved victory celebration for Easter, and he comes to them on this dusty road, and he walks with them, and what does he do? He conducts a Bible study. In effect, Jesus invites them into God's study and opens up to them the promises of God's word. Now, maybe we would have expected him to do something quite more dramatic. Goodness sakes, our Lord Jesus had just defeated the combined eternal powers of sin, death, and the devil. He had risen in glorious Easter resurrection victory. Certainly, he could have impressed them with a miracle or two. But no, Jesus sees no need to do anything more than to invite them into God's study to re-examine the promises of Scripture. In Luke 24, 25 to 27, St. Luke says, Jesus said these words to those men. You are foolish and slow to believe everything the prophets said. They said that the Christ must suffer before he enters his glory. Then, starting with what Moses and the prophets had said about him, Jesus began to explain everything that had been written about him in the Scriptures. My goodness sakes, how would you have liked to have attended that Bible study? That would blow out of the water any Bible study you've ever had. My friends, God works in the same way today. He invites us to pray and to seek, "Thy will be done." Open the Word of God and you will find His will, and your faith and understanding will be strengthened. Why do you think we have so many Bible classes here throughout the week? Why do you think I teach and prepare 5 classes every week? Why do you think I encourage you to listen carefully as the sermons are proclaimed and to stay awake and follow and use the sermon outlines given to you? Why do you think we stress the importance of having family or even personal quiet time around God's Word so God can speak to you His will and His plan as we pray, "Thy will be done"? But this moves us to the third and final way that God invites us into His study, that we can get a hold of, "Thy will be done." He reveals His will to us by walking with us. Regarding the two men on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, verse 15 says, "And Jesus walked with them." What a simple statement. "And Jesus walked with them." What a wonderful statement. "And Jesus walked with them." In the Lord's Prayer, we ask our Heavenly Father, "Thy will be done." And He says to us, "In my Son, Jesus, my will is done." The Bible tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son." And Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the very Son of God, become human flesh, was born in Bethlehem's stable so that He could walk with us, teaching us God's will, demonstrating God's will, being God's will in human flesh, walking with us on the dusty road to Emmaus. And Jesus walked with us and for us all the way to the cross and to the empty tomb. Speaking of Jesus walking with us, listen to what the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 1. It's a little complicated verse, but what he's talking about is, we saw, we touched, we heard Jesus. He really walked with us. Listen to the text. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld, what our hands touched concerning the word of life. And this life was manifested. We have seen, bear witness, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. John says that he and others heard, saw, touched, and proclaimed Jesus, the word of life. This Jesus walked with them. Jesus is the will of God, in thy will be done. He has come to be with us, to both reveal God's will to us, but to be God's will in the flesh. And Jesus has some things to say about God's will. Here are just 3 little samples. John 6:39, Jesus says, "This is God's will, that I should raise those up at the last day whom God has given to me." Matthew 18:14, "It is not God's will then any of these little ones should perish. John 6, verse 40, it is my Father's will that everybody who looks upon the Son and believes should have eternal life. Jesus would still walk with us today as we invite him to do so. In the account of Jesus walking with the Emmaus disciples, we read this really curious verse, verse 28. Listen carefully. They came near the town of Emmaus, and Jesus acted as if he were going farther. Doesn't Jesus want to be with these two men? Of course he does, but he does not want to be where he is not invited, where he's not welcomed. And in this account, we learned that after they invited him to stay with them and share a meal, at the meal, they really recognized who he was. Verses 30 and 31 say, and when he sat at the table with them, he took bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. How about us? Would Jesus walk with us today to strengthen us, guide us, and reveal himself and reveal God's will to us? Of course he would. And like the Emmaus disciples, he welcomes and waits for your invitation to walk with you as you journey. As you pray every day, thy will be done. We talk so much about this in our Bible class. It's studying the sermons. Every day we have the opportunity to be just like those Emmaus disciples and say, Lord Jesus, please walk with me today. Walk with me at home and my family. Walk with me where I work. Walk with me my heartaches and struggles and my joys. Oh, Lord Jesus, please walk with me. And of all the things in creation your Lord Jesus could do that day, he puts his arms on the shoulder of Carol. He puts his arms around the shoulders of Barb and of you, Braden, and says, I will walk with you today. And I will reveal God's will of thy will be done just for you. One last thing in this Emmaus account. Did you see what happened when Jesus broke the bread and blessed it and gave it to them to eat? It was at this moment they really recognized who Jesus was and how God loved them and what his will for them was. The same thing happens today at this table. As our Lord meets us here, breaks the bread, blesses it and gives it to us. He walks with us in a very real way as we take there his true body and blood, opening our eyes to God's will and God's ways through his blood and body on the cross for you and me. Today, we have entered into a special room in the great house of God called the study, so God can reveal his will to us. And we have learned that in this study of God, through the people of God, through the Word of God, through Jesus walking with us, we can pray confidently, thy will be done. And God, for Jesus' sake, accomplishes his will in our lives. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.